Blog Talk Radio.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves, and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your
Shabbat Shalom, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahrael, Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I ask all to, if you can hear me clearly, send me a text, shout me out, let me know that you can hear me. And also, just a reminder, just grab your notepad, your iPad, your phone, your iPhone, your notepads, pens, pencils, all those things that you would need for a great study. But the Father has some things for us tonight, combined with the things we've heard before, just to bring you a little closer to Him. And as always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment on this Sabbath day, in which you say that you will meet with us. We thank you for protecting us throughout the course of the week and giving ear to our prayers and helping us out both mentally, physically, and emotionally. We thank you, Father, ultimately for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we thank you for all the people that you put in our life that aids us in serving you. We thank you, Father, for your love that you've shown to us throughout the years, but ultimately this time, giving us life on this Sabbath day. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom again, family. And we're in another session of Can It Be That Simple? And as we in the past few weeks, we've been going over the advanced training in session. Now, this particular advanced training is going to be in separation. And when we began when we was talking about shame and guilt. The shame and guilt separates us from the Father. And why does it separate us from the Father? It's because the adversary is using that as a tool to keep us separated, because he gets in our mental and try to make us feel as though the Father doesn't love us. But Yahushua's death was in vain. Because when we get caught up in shame and guilt, we start looking at the flesh and what we have done and what we can do to resolve the issues that we have put ourselves into, or the poor decision-making that we've made. And he fuels it and constantly brings it to mind. But also what we learn in that session is that the Father wipes the slate clean. But the problem is we don't wipe the slate clean. And when we don't wipe the slate clean, that means the information and the learning and the experiences that we have with Yahweh and Yahushua and Yah means nothing, because we don't realize how it is healing us, because that guilt and shame constantly comes to our mind, and we don't put the full armor on. We allow those barriers to hinder us from hearing the word of Yah, from having that relationship with Yahushua. So this particular separation that we're going to be talking about is more of a physical separation. And sometimes in walking with Yah and believing in his son and believing in his word, we have to physically do some things. But as always, we have to do these things mentally first and then manifest them in the physical. Sometimes we talk a good game, we talk that we're doing these things, but our actions totally demonstrate something different. So we're going to go through a few scriptures tonight, and it's going to be talking about, bear in mind the term separation, because we have to separate from this world system and cleave and enjoin ourselves to the system of Yah. And if we enjoin ourselves to Yah's system, we can overcome the world system. But we have to let the world system go. We have different examples throughout the scriptures in regards to different occasions where people were given an opportunity to separate from the world system, but they chose not to. The one that comes to mind first is Lot's wife, where she was in a town that was being destroyed. Why? Because of their way of life was separate from that of Yah. And she was given an opportunity to leave it. But one instruction she was given, or all the people that were leaving were given, do not look back. And if you're familiar with that story, Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So sometimes in our journey, or there will come a time in our journey where we're also going to be told not to look back. And when we do look back, sometimes looking back hinders us from going forward. So we're going to start in Genesis. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And we're going to go through a few definitions in the beginning. But from But after we go through the definitions, then you will see how different scriptures are pointing to something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. And it reads, Yahweh saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. So we're going to go to this particular scripture. We're going to end this in this particular scripture. We're going to go to the word very, which is 3966 in your Hebrew. And very is an adjective. And the word is moed, moed, moed. And it means muchness, force, abundance. Now we're going to read the definition that it says down here. It says, from the same as food, properly ruminants, i.e. with or without, by implication, holy, feedly. With other words, as an intensive or superlative, especially when repeated. So that's just getting into explaining this particular adjective. But in this definition, it used the term holy. And I looked that word up in the English. And holy is entirely, totally, altogether, quite. So when he's adding this word to the word good, because I'm getting ready to look up the word good, which is in Hebrew 28:96. And what is he describing? He's describing everything that he had, that the Father or Yahweh has made up until this point. And he's describing that it is very good. And, you know, and that's dealing with creation. Now, the word good is 28:96 in your Hebrew. And it is tub. And it means beautiful. And this is also an adjective. So if you're familiar with your Hebrew grammar. Adjectives can describe other adjectives. Adverbs can describe verbs. So an adjective also are actually describing a noun. Now he's talking about the word tub means beautiful. Or pleasant, acceptable. So I looked the word, you know, and beautiful comes from the word beauty. Now, beauty means possessing qualities that give great pleasure or satisfaction to see, hear, think about, delighting the senses, the sense or mind. When he said that, you know, everything he had created up to this point was totally beautiful or totally pleasant, totally satisfied to hearing, seeing, thinking about his sense of, I mean, everything. This is what he has done. Then you have the word pleasant, and pleasant means pleasing, acceptable, enjoying. So this is what he has done up until this point, and he created these things. So now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. And it reads, Yahweh blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested in it from all his work which he had created and made. Right here, when we read this particular scripture, the word that we're going to go to in this particular scripture is holy. And that is 6942. And that is kadesh. And this word is a verb. And it means to be set apart or consecrated. Now, in the definition for this one, it says to be causative, make, pronounce, or observe as clean. And then it has ceremonial and moral, appointed, bid, consecrated, dedicated. So I looked the word dedicated up. Now, first of all, we're going to go to the word consecrated. And consecrated is defined by Webster as sacred or set apart, dedicated to the service or worship of a deity or for spiritual or religious purpose. So this is what consecrated means by definition of Webster. Then the word dedicated also means to set apart and to consecrate to a deity or to a sacred purpose, to devote wholly and earnestly as to some person's purpose. So there's our word holy again, and that means entirely. So the reason why I went here is because out of all, you know, when we're dealing with creation, creation was very good in the eyes of Yahweh. But he sanctified or separated the seventh day. So in dealing with that and coming from this, you know, dealing with that advanced training and we dealing with separation, we have to get back to understanding the separation that the Sabbath has from the rest of the week and our dedication to the Most High, our dedication to the Word, our dedication to the service to Yahushua. We have to separate. You know, yes, we go out there in the world system and the Father gives us the strength to go to our jobs and do what we do for them. And what are we doing? We're showing him, showing his character as we are amongst the world system. But when the seventh day comes, which is the Sabbath, we're supposed to separate ourselves from that particular entity of our life and give ourselves wholly to him. Why? Because this is the day that he said he's going to meet with us. So we're not supposed, you know, we're not supposed to have other filth on our minds during this particular time. We're supposed to be ready and willing to receive what he has in store for us. So we're supposed to be eager to enter into the Sabbath, ready to enter into the Sabbath. Why? Because this is the day that the Father said he's going to meet with us, our Creator. He's going to meet with us. He's going to tell us things to get us ready for the next week. We have to get that back in our mind. We, you know, one of the sessions that we had was that we had to return back to our first love. And that first love was that intimate relationship that we had with the Father. And see, in that intimate relationship that we had with the Father, we didn't even really know that we had it. But as we grew in this system, he opened our eyes to bring us to the notion of who he is and who his son is. And each day as we travel in this thing called life, when he is because he has opened our eyes and opened our ears to who his son is, we are responsible for his word. We are responsible. Why? Because he has separated us from the world. He has picked us out of humanity to be holy. Where do we read that at? Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And it reads, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be my own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And this is what Yahweh is talking, saying to Moses, to tell the people. See, and because we read Moses every Sabbath, he's telling us also. But do you believe that? See, because when we read in the scriptures, many times we come across stories where the men who call themselves Israel was not believing what Moses was saying. We also come across those who were of Israel who was learning Moses every Sabbath, who wasn't teaching Moses spirit and which was on Moses. They're speaking and teaching Moses on the spirit that is on them, which is that of the world system. And because of that, that causes people to scatter from the trueness of Yah's word. From here, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. And it reads, "Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Be sober and set your hope full on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yahushua. As children of obedience, not conforming yourselves according to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, we're going to go to the term holy in this particular scripture. And this is in your Greek lexicon. And it is hagios. And it means sacred, holy, set apart by or for the mighty one, holy, sacred. Now, I'm going to read this definition, and this is from the Health Word Study. This was the definition they have for the same word, hagios. Properly, different, unlike others, holy for the believers, means likeness of nature with the mighty one. Because you're different from the world. Fundamental core meaning for hagios is different. So we have to understand that we are different. And that's why we have been separated. We have been set apart. We have to realize that we are different. And why we're different? Because we are holy. Because the one who has created us made us holy. Just like when we go back to the 7 days of creation, a day was set apart and made holy. So out of all his creating of humanity, what did he do? He set us apart and made us holy. Do you believe that, Israel believers and listening audience? You have to understand that you are different. You are different. From here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And it reads, "Now Yahweh said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So we're going to go to this word, get out. And that is, that is 1980 in your Hebrew lexicon or Hebrew concordance. And it is halak. And halak means to go, come, walk. It also means along, a pace, behave self, and continually, depart, be eased. In this definition, I never used the word a pace. So I looked the word a pace up. And a pace means with speed, quickly, swiftly. So what is he telling Abraham? He's telling Abraham to get out. We have another example where, in the scriptures, where they had to get out. When the Hebrews left Egypt, they had to get out, and they got out quickly. You know, it was like they got out, they left so fast that they didn't want the Pharaoh to change his mind, as if the Pharaoh had a choice. But when he did change his mind, the Hebrews were gone. Why? Because they got out there so swiftly. Another definition for this halak is to depart. And I looked that up. And it means to go away, leave. To diverge, to deviate. Usually followed from. So that's saying how, you know, it's, you know, when you're saying depart, it's telling you where you're departing from. So we're going, you know, because we have to, you know, the first thing he told him to do, get out of your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. So being though we have been chosen out of humanity to be different. So that means that's a possibility that amongst our family, we are different. Amongst the people in our neighborhood, we are different. And that we have to separate from them. And then we read the story in regard to Abraham. It took him a while before he eventually left. And the father understands humanity. He understands that we're not quick to do certain things. But he also reiterates things also to us in regards to hasten to do things and not be tardy. Because sometimes in being tardy, you're going to miss out. From here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6. And this is another in regards to getting out. But in this particular, I use the World English Translation. And then Jeremiah 51:6, it says, flee out of the midst of Babylon and save every man his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquities. For it is the time of Yahweh's vengeance. He will render to her recompense. And from here, we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 51 again. But we're going to go a little further down to verse 45. And it reads, my people, go away from the midst of her and save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of Yahweh. Then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 18. And it reads, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you have no participation in her sins and that you do not receive of her plagues. And one of the things that came to my mind in reading this is the Exodus from Egypt. See, when we go back to that part of history, see, the Hebrews were amongst them, amongst the Egyptians, when they were going through those plagues. Plagues was not touching those who believed in Yahweh. Because we also read in the stories about the Hebrews that everybody didn't believe in Yahweh. And because they didn't believe in Yahweh, they were also touched by those plagues. See, because that became a reminder for those who did believe. And so what is he telling us? He's telling us to come out of her, come out of this world system. Because, as the scripture says, all of, let me see, I'm paraphrasing it. Talking about we all dirty. We all fall short of the glory of the Most High. And because of that, the way that we get out of that is to believe in Yahushua and understand what he has done for us and repent of our past sins, because we talked about that before, where he wipes the slates clean, and we're talking and has been reiterated that we also have to wipe the slate clean. That way we won't be caught up in the guilt and the shame of our past life. Because when we believe in Yahushua and believe in what he has done, we become anew. We become a daily sacrifice because we're constantly removing our past life. We're constantly cleaning up our house, which is our souls, and getting rid of the iniquities and filling it up with Yah's word, filling it up with his spirit. So from here, we're going to go to Mark chapter 3, verse 35. And it reads, "For whosoever does the will of Yah, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." So this is Yahushua talking. See, and this was during the time when his biological mother and biological brother, or his fleshly family, was coming to speak with him. And someone was bringing it to his attention. And he said to them, "Whosoever does the will of my Father." See, we have to understand who our Father is. And our Father is Yah. So whosoever does the will of our Father, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. So this is going back to that separation. See, that's who our family is. Those who do the will of Yah. And we know that Yahushua did the will of Yah. And if we believe in him, then we're doing the same thing. We're doing the will of Yah. From here, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "For as much then as Yahushua suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of Yah." See, because when we say we believe in what Yahushua did, we have to have that same mind. As the scriptures say, "Let this mind be in you." What mind is that? That mind is that of Yahushua. See, because the mind of Yahushua led him to obedience. And I think we read it last week in regards that he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And what did he suffer? He suffered the things of the flesh. That's what he suffered. We suffer the same things. But because we were born of the flesh, we have to rise above the flesh. And how do we do that? By strengthening our mind and separating ourselves. We have to separate ourselves now. Because we read earlier that he has already separated us. How did he do that? He brought us to the understanding of who his son is and what his son has done. And we cannot ignore that because he opened our eyes to that. He's opened our ears to hear that. So now we have to do what he did, rise above that flesh and do the will of Yah. We can't be constantly looking back to the past and thinking that it's okay to look back, because looking back is only going to hinder you. Remember the story of Lot's wife. Looking back turned her into salt. She was no longer able to go forward. First John, chapter 2, verse 17. The world is passing away with its lusts, but he who does Yah's will remains forever. Why is that? We read that Yahushua is life. He is the bread of life. Now, if we're taking in that bread of life, then we too can live forever. Why? Because we're doing the will of the Father. We're doing what he has chosen us to do, to be a holy nation. It's been taught. He didn't choose Israel because they were great. He chose Israel because he chose Israel. The scriptures teach he's not a respecter of person. So there's nothing, you know, I'm going to say there's nothing great about me, but he chose me to walk in his ways, to acknowledge his son, to look toward his son, to assist me in my everyday life. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Because this is what the word is telling us we are supposed to do. And that is the will of the Father. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. And it reads, servants, be obedient to those. I'm going to start off. Servants, be obedient to those who according to the flesh are your masters, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as to Yahushua. Let's stop here for a minute. What is he saying here? He is saying that the masters that we have over us, our boss and things of that nature, if we work for someone, we have to deal with them according to the righteousness of the word. Because if we deal with them wrong, the Father is going to deal with us accordingly. We have to understand that. The Father is constantly looking at us. He's constantly watching us. He's constantly teaching us. Because if we have made that commitment to him, because he's already made that commitment to us, then we have to constantly examine ourselves daily. Because we're trying to make sure that we are a perfect sacrifice for him. Constantly removing the iniquities from ourselves, because we are striving to be like Yahushua, perfect. And he understands that we can't be perfect, but we can be perfect in the renewing of our mind. It's not the arm, it's not the strength of the arm that causes us to do these things. It's the will of Yah that dwells in our mind. So we're not serving the supervisor that we have and that's over us. We're serving Yah, because Yah has put that person in this position for us to learn from. Verse 6, not in the way of service only, when eyes are on you as men pleasers, but as servants of Yahushua, doing the will of Yah from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to Yah and not to men. See, that's who we're serving. Example that we show to other people may cause them to seek the light of Yahushua that dwells within us. They may seek you and look to you and ask you, why are you so different? Why are we different? Because he sanctified us and made us holy, because we have committed to him. And he has opened our minds to see this, opened our ears to hear this. But we have to separate ourselves. And when we separate ourselves, we have to separate ourselves and understand throughout our life and the different things that we do that we have to make Yahushua our all in all. Yahweh Elohim, our all in all. Yah, our all in all. And when we do that, everything else around us will be, as he said, beautiful, pleasant to him. Because that's when we started off. Very good. Beautiful. Pleasant to my sight. Pleasant to my speech. You know, that means he enjoyed talking to you. Why? Because he see himself in you. Remember when we were talking about that shining of that gold, that shining of that silver, how it goes through those tribulations or goes through the fire? And getting rid of those impurities, he's shining you up. He's training you. He's disciplining you. Why? Yahushua went through it. Why shouldn't you go through it? Because that's how it started off. It started off with us shining. We shined in the beginning. But it's when we came into this world that we started becoming tarnished. As we got older, we got more tarnished, more tarnished, more tarnished, more tarnished, more tarnished. More impurities, more impurities, more impurities. But then when he opened our eyes, he gave us an opportunity. So we have to realize that it's not going to be all peaches and greens. Be a little heat sometimes. And some of us, you know, we feel in different heat. And the heat don't come the same way for everybody. You know, when we look at different things that, you know, different things that are made of silver, you have a variety of things that are made of silver. So in shining these different varieties of things, it doesn't take a lot of effort to shine everything. like gold earrings. It don't take long to shine up some gold earrings because they are very small. But when they're shiny, they look good on the ears of the person that has them on. You know, it doesn't take long to shine up one fork, one silver fork. It don't take long. But if you're going to have your family over, it's going to take a little time to do that silverware. For those who can remember that, you know, back in the day, that silver, that container with that flatware that was made of silver. As a child, I disliked that time. That was some hard work shining that silver. Because you had to do the forks. You got your salad fork. You got your eating fork. You got your spoon. You got your regular teaspoon. You got that big spoon. You got the butter knife. You got the serving utensils. Oh, boy. And then your hands be all black from all the tarnish you done got off of there. For people to eat with them one time and then they go back in the box and be the same way the following year. But that's not how the Father wants us to be. He don't want us to be shining one year and then tarnished. He wants us to remain shining. So we have to constantly put in the work so that every time he decides to look at you, he see himself. And so at the same time, when we look out, look in the mirror, we're supposed to see the Father in us. Why? Because we're looking and we're seeing Yahushua. And Yahushua said, if you see me, you see the Father. So are you seeing Yahushua? And if you are, you're seeing the Father. But if you're seeing yourself, there's a little more work that you have to do. If you are that life. If you want to go through the door that he has allowed you to see, which is Yahushua. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And it reads, not everyone who says to me, Adonai, Adonai, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And it reads, but even as we have been approved by Yah to be entrusted with the good news, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but Yah who tests our hearts. Do you understand what he's saying here, family? He entrusted us with the knowledge of Yahushua. He entrusted us with the knowledge of his word. And when we speak his word, we're not trying to please men. Because we already understand and know man's nature is wicked. And if we're taking the word and trying to please men with it, then we're not even in his will. But he said he's testing us. He's testing our hearts. Who we believe in and how we use his word. Are we taking this understanding that he's given us and trying to please men? Or are we striving to do the will of our Father? And as we've been learning for the past, I'm going to say year or so, it's two families, the family of Yah and the family of Hasatan. Who's your father? Who's your father? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. And it reads, therefore, watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of Yah is. Do not be wise in your own conscience. No, that's not it. Because we see what man's wisdom is. Man's wisdom is motivated by the adversary. See, because the adversary is pumping these men up. Pumping these men up. Pumping them up. Pumping them up. But the Father, he teaches us humility. How did he teach us that? He taught us that through his Son. He humbled himself. Understanding that he had all power over mankind. But he humbled himself because that was the will of the Father for him, to submit himself to this wicked, created thing. Man. And what did man do to him? Killed him. And who was promoting his death? Those who proclaimed the supposed had known him. Those who were studying his word daily and boasting about how much Torah they knew. But when the Torah was standing in front of them, what did they do? Say, where did he get this knowledge from? Whoa, we got to get rid of him. He is definitely smarter than I am. But he don't have the fly wear that I got on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And it reads, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Yahushua and Yah. See, when we go through that baptism, what have we done? We died. And when we arise, our life in Yahushua goes forward. See, that's what we're supposed to be striving to be. Yahushua on earth right now. Doing the same things that he did when he walked the earth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And it reads, this I say therefore and testify in Yahushua that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Yah because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. See, we have to understand that one of the things that we don't want to do is harden our heart to the correction of the word. We don't want to do that. Because when we harden our hearts to the word, then we miss things that the Father is telling us, that the Spirit is trying to reveal to us. And that spirit that I'm talking about is that spirit of Yahushua that he sends back to give us understanding of the word. See, because when we harden our hearts, then we are more receptive to the things of Hakatan. Because Hakatan is going to feed our egos. It's going to feed our flesh. And see, and that's something that we have done. We have walked away from the flesh when we made that commitment and made and went through that baptism and say, I am going to walk anew in Yahushua. Excuse me. From here, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. Excuse me, Stanley. And it reads my words to them. Rather they hear, or rather they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. You understand what's happening? When he was talking to Ezekiel, I believe Ezekiel was a young person. And the father called him out and said, hey, look, I need you to go talk to them elders. He was talking to Israel. And he was letting them know, hey, they rebellious. I need you to talk to them anyway. Tell them, whether they hear it or forbear it. And he was also letting them know, hey, they are most rebellious. So when we get out there and we talking to people, we already know. So these people don't want to hear what I got to say. They don't care what I got to say. But if the Father tell us that we got to tell them, got to tell them. Because if we don't tell them, then we're not being obedient. And then we will get the repercussions of being disobedient. As they say, trial and error. No, not trial and error. Cause and effect. We have an example of that also, where the prophet was told not to do something, told not to stop, not to go anywhere. I need you to go straight hit, go straight somewhere. He come across someone who said that it was a prophet, told him to come to the house. He went to the house because the man said he was a prophet. That same prophet told him, saying, yeah, when you leave up out of here, you're going to get ate by a lion. So you know that cat was trying to stay, that prophet that, you know, disobeyed, you know, he was trying to stay as long as he could, you know. But he ended up leaving and got ate up by a lion. He became an example to other people. See, we don't want to be an example to other people. And if we are going to be an example, we want to be an example like Yahushua was. Because he was obedient to death, not being disobedient. So from here, we're going to go to 12 to 14. And this just means words of encouragement, family, when we go and we talk to different people. Because Yahushua, he came to save the world, Jews and Gentiles, well, Jews and aliens. He came to save humanity. But as we learned earlier, we different. So when we go out there and we talk to people, we have to keep this in mind. Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. As you enter into the house, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come on it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whoever doesn't receive you nor hear your words, as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. See, every house that we go to, and what I mean by, you know, understanding this connotation in regards to the house, every house is every individual you go to is not going to receive you. They're not going to bid you peace. Personal. Nah, don't take it personal. We have an example of that one. I think it was Samuel. When the people said, hey, we want a king. And Samuel took it personal. Hell, they don't want me to lead them no more, Father. Hey, what are you doing? They don't want me as their leader. You're just my spokesperson, you know? The Father gave them what they wanted. Gave them what they wanted. And that king did the same thing. Why? Because the king wasn't reading the Torah. Because the scriptures teach that too. Moses laid that down also as far as what a king is supposed to do. See, the Father covers all bases. Covers all bases. So when we go through the Word, there's nothing new under the sun. And everything under the sun is the earth. So don't take it personal when people don't receive what you're saying to them. No. Don't take it personal. Tell them. It was meant for them to acknowledge Yah, acknowledge Yahushua, acknowledge Yahweh Elohim. They're going to acknowledge it. Why? Because the Father has opened their eyes to it. Has sent word down there for them to receive it. We don't do anything. We just messengers. We doing our service to the Most High. We trying to do a good job. Because that's what we trying to hear. Good job, my good and faithful servant. And we look the word good up. My good and pleasant servant. My good and beautiful servant. Holy. Complete. You know, you want to be complete in that goodness. And how do we become complete in that goodness? By constantly reminding ourselves that Yahushua dwells in us. And we can't be beating Yahushua. And our actions and our deeds, when we say we believe in him, we can't constantly be putting him up on that tree because of our actions, because of our deeds, because of our thoughts. Matthew chapter 10, 37. And it reads, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. And see, and looking at this scripture, we have to look at the fact that this is Yahushua talking. And he's talking about your family. He's talking about people who esteem their father and their mother more than they esteem Yahushua. Those who esteem their sons and their daughters more than they esteem Yahushua. See, our biological family can't give us nothing but grief. Whereas Yahushua, he has given us the keys to the kingdom. And you can have the keys to the kingdom, but if you don't know where the door is, those keys are no good. And we recently was brought to our attention, hey, I showed you the door. I'm giving you the keys. So when it's time for us to use that key that he has given us to open that door to go into that kingdom, that's when we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have proven yourself worthy with the precious jewels that I've given you, which is his word. See, many people don't look at the word as something precious. That's why they trample all over it. But he has opened our eyes to see the beauty of his word, the preciousness. So that's why he tells us to guard it and protect it and keep it. And as we protect it and keep it, we're showing how precious it is to those who don't deem it precious. The 17th, verse 30 to 31. And it reads, "The time of ignorance, therefore, Yah overlooked. But now he commands that all people everywhere should repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, of which assurance to all men, and that he has raised him from the dead." Understand what we're saying here? Understand what he's saying? Ignorance. The time of ignorance, therefore, is overlooked. There's no excuse now. No excuse. He said all people. He didn't just say Israel should repent. He said all people. All people. Because judgment is coming. Telling everybody, repent. And that's one of the things that we're doing right now. We're telling people, oh, you got to get yourself right with the Most High. You have to cleave to Yahushua, who saved you, who laid his life down for you. Every people, every person, everywhere. But as we go out there and speak to people in regards to repentance, we have to make sure that we have repented also. We got to talk the talk and walk the walk. And sometimes walking that walk is hard. But it's doable. You know, because sometimes we speaking that word to somebody, we kicking it, we sharing it. And then we sit back and reflect and we realize that we, you know, or not realize, or we look back or we look down and realize that we missed a couple toes. Because that word didn't cut a couple toes off our feet. Well, you know, you're talking that talk, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize, oh, my goodness, I didn't bit my tongue. Why? Because, you know, he said, my word is a double-edged sword. When you call yourself cutting somebody else, you end up cutting yourself. But what we said earlier, he's no respecter of person. Just because I open your eyes to the truth of my word doesn't mean that my word ain't going to cut you too. We're not above reproach. The Father system is not like man's system. See, man think he's above the law. So this is the last scripture for the day. Not for the day, but for this session. And the session as we was talking about is separation. And what are we separating from? We're separating from this world system. And crossing over. Because when we look at Abraham, in the beginning his name was Abram, but then his name was changed. And we look at, he was called the Hebrew. And we go back and we look at that word, and it says crossed over. What did he cross over from? He crossed over from the world system into the system of Yah. Because one of the things that we learned about Abraham, or Abram, is that his father was an idol maker. So he grew up in a idolatry. And he crossed over because he was chosen. He was different. And because he was so different, that the father said that I know that he will teach his children. And he's an example to us. And because he's an example to us, we should also teach our children. Teach our children. Because they too will have to make the decision on whether or not they want to serve the Most High or not. But we're supposed to give them the tools. And when they become adults, we can still assist them. By giving them that knowledge that we give to everybody else. Because they too must make a decision whether or not they want to serve the Father or not. So from here, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 29. And it reads, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly." So family, just like always, I'll encourage everyone to go back over the scriptures that the Father led me through his word to put down on pieces on this paper and see how he opened your mind up to these scriptures. Because he put on my mind separation. He may put something different on your mind in regards to these scriptures that will build you up and make you stronger in him. So family, may you continue to enjoy the Sabbath day, enjoy this meal that was given by the Father. As he say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Proceed forward. I'm paraphrasing. But we know we can live on that spirit of his word and his truth. That bread from heaven that we partake of. All right, family, we're going to end with prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the words that you've given us to hear today. Thank you, Father, for the Sabbath. Thank you, Father, for Yahushua. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you, Father, for the healing that you've given us. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen those who are weak, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. We ask of thee to raise them up with your holy hand and open their mind to realize that you are there with them. It is you who are encouraging them to keep on going. But may they remember what Yahushua has done for them as they go through that they go through. To constantly encourage them to continue in your word. Continue to look to the heavens for encouragement. We thank you, Father, for the strength that you've given us and that you will give us. We thank you for forgiving us for the sins we've committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. We ask thee, O Father, to continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind so that we can constantly stand on your truth of your word and display Yahushua in our life. We thank you for choosing us, for making us different from all others. May we understand that you see us as beautiful, so that when we look in the mirror and see ourselves, we see the beauty that you see and not harp on the guilt and the shame that we've done. Father, we thank you in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Spilled blood that we have been given another opportunity to give you praise and give you honor. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with peace. Shalom, Shabbat shalom, family. May you all have a peaceful slumber.
Here we go again, Israel. A lot of Israelites is going back into the world, you know. I can't figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go after you heard this?
And that's all you need.